Hey, Calvary family and our friends in Tyrone, just want to give a shout out to Pastor Bill there. Just want you to know I love you. And if you don't know me, my name's Jorn, and it's a privilege to be sharing the first message of the new year. And I do trust that your holiday was full of moments, good moments, wonderful moments with friends and family, and you're embracing what God has for you in the year to come. So with the first message of the year, I'd really like to focus and set the tone about our mission and the vision that we have for doubling the amount of Christ followers in our region by 2030. It's critical. Everything that we do at Calvary, everything that we make assessments about and how we love and care for our community and for people, it's all based on where we're heading in 2030 and the ability for us to make a difference in our community and in the world at large. And many of us at Calvary spend an hour on New Year's Day praying for a move of God in 2025. We prayed for that in our churches and in our community. And along with our day of prayer, for the rest of January, we're going to be joining with other congregations in Central PA to fast 10,000 days and pray 10,000 hours. Now, if you want to be a part of that, you can join us by going to calvarysc.org/prayer for more information and the prayer guides that will actually go along to help you on your way so that you can consistently keep praying through the month and know that there's other people who are praying with you, seeking God together, looking for breakthrough in our community, and being able to see the power of prayer make a difference everywhere around us. Now, when I think about the ebbs and flow of my own prayer life over the years, I've realized that there are basically four categories of Christians when it comes to prayer. The first one is those who just don't pray. And the second one is those who should pray. And then the third one is those who start to pray. And then, of course, the last one is those who actually keep praying. Now, let me say I've been back and forth through this multiple times in the 33 years of following Jesus. So there's nothing that I'm going to say today. There's nothing that, you know, I'm going to project towards you that I haven't experienced in those four categories myself. See, where do you see yourself right now? One of those categories. You don't pray. You know you should pray. You started praying, but you couldn't keep it up. Or you're really just passionately going after it right now. Now, there have been times where I have not prayed for months other than a few kind of bless me prayers before I've gone to bed. Then there have been times where I would have, under the conviction and hearing stories of others who were seeing God through their own prayer lives, and I knew I needed to get my act together. And other times I would start like a house on fire, especially at the first of the year, when I would make one of my famous New Year resolutions. But a few months later, I'll be honest with you, I just pooped out. But there have also been seasons where I've risen up with tenacity and passion, and I kept fighting with the Spirit to actually see breakthrough. This is what we're heading towards right now. I mean, there's a swath of reasons most of you could give me yourself. Disappointment from unanswered prayers, or an hour is just too long. And you probably say, if God already knows everything, I'm sure I don't need to invest that much time. And probably a few thank you Jesuses are enough to get the job done. Or you've hit a ceiling where every prayer seems like it's bouncing back to heaven, from heaven. You've listened to more teachings and read more books on prayer that should have given you the edge you needed, but you realize that maybe prayer is more than some 5x7 cards and an egg timer. Or someone told you this: hey, be careful when you pray because there's a real devil and he's going to begin messing with you if you get serious. Again, whatever reason, we've all been there, and yet we all know without it, the needle isn't going to move when it comes to God's purposes for us as individuals and specifically the church. For now, though, I want to talk about what I call eternity in regards to prayer. So let me pray for us first, and then we'll get into some scriptures. Father, we just say thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you, to be led by you, and be a people who really just know that praying is the most important thing. And as we head into this new year and as we begin to say, God, we want to be used by you, we want the church to, you know, grow and flourish and impact the world and our community, will you just continually remind us that it all starts with praying and knowing you? Give us courage. Give us great faith. Help us, Lord, as we move forward in this next season, in Jesus' name. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you thought about eternity? I mean, really spent some time considering what it means to you personally. My first encounter with eternity was when I was 13 years old. One night, I was laying in bed, staring out a window into like a clear star-filled night. And all of a sudden, I just had this thought, how big is the universe? And I said, where does it end? Like, how do you know if there's an ending? And how did I get here? And then the big question, where will I be in a million years? I mean, suddenly I was racked with fear. I mean, my brain was on overload. And I mean, I don't know if they had the pens back then, but I probably could have been wearing one because I was so afraid. So what do you do? What did you do? What do you do when this happens to you? I'll tell you what happened to me. I just blocked it out. I did my best to ignore it, but I couldn't. Periodically over the years until I met Jesus, I would have what I call eternal moments that would graciously remind me without realizing it that God was revealing himself. With that thought in mind, I just want to share this scripture with you before we get into our main thoughts. It's from Ecclesiastes and it says this, "What do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." Now, here's my perspective. I think for the majority of Christians, eternity is more along the lines of my experience. It's something we mostly ignore. Eternity is kind of like at the end of the road. It's really too much for our finite minds to get our hearts wrapped around. And as the verse says, who really has time to consider eternity? This life has so many burdens to pray about that we don't have time to really focus on eternity unless we're confronted with the end of our life, confronted with death, or confronted with suffering. But the writer says this, God has set eternity in each of our hearts, and there is a time to consider how beautiful it is. And now that Jesus has come, we can see the full scope of God's work from beginning to end. Nothing has been hidden from us, and eternity is not only in our hearts, but it's a reality as our access. It's a place we can go in our faith and in our prayer life. So what if we laid down all our preconceived ideas and we ask ourselves this, what if I started to pray with eternity in mind? Jesus has something to say about this. He says this, "After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one of you. He has given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And he says this, "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." These words, they're at the beginning of a prayer Jesus spoke in front of his disciples. And he was coming to the end of his life. He was going to be crucified soon. And I believe these last moments, he was praying into eternity. The chapters before, starting in John 14, he says this first, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If this was not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Jesus spends the next three chapters reminding them about who he is. He reminds them what the Father's desire is for each of us to be with him, to know him, and to love him. He reminds them all God has provided for each believer for the journey ahead, that this world, no matter how beautiful it can be, it's not really our home. And no matter what we may face in this life, it's always about being one with God. And the greatest gift is he himself who reveals the glory of God. So how are you going to be a part of eternity? What will set you up in line with the Spirit of God? Moreover, how will your prayer life actually be shaped over the next year? Here's some points to remember. First, from the prayer that Jesus prayed, pray for glory. Pray for glory. Jesus said, "Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you." Billy Graham said this about glory. He said, "The glory of God is the visible manifestation of his attributes and his character." Now, I'll be honest. I believe for most of us, this is hard to get our heads wrapped around. Even as I was writing this point, I was wrestling with what it means practically for myself and for you as a listener. But many years ago, when I was young in my faith, Bonnie and I considered going to this small mission school in Walhalla, South Carolina. And there was a guy that ran the place. His name was A.S. Worley. By the time I met him, he was in his 80s already. He'd come to our church one weekend to share, and as soon as he started speaking, I mean, you were transfixed by the revelation of God in his life and the message that he was sharing. So I went to visit for a day, and that evening, there was a prayer meeting. And during the meeting was solely focused on praying for the world and for the Great Commission. Basically, just praying for everyone. And there were only a handful of us in there. And as I sat in this old wooden pew, A.S. Worley was sitting directly behind me. The person leading asked if we would get on our knees and pray. And so I turned around and I got on my knees and I leaned into the pew and I realized that old A.S. Worley had turned around and he had leaned into the pew in front of me. And so I tried to start praying, but A.S. started praying first. And I can only explain what happened next as what I call being saturated with the glory of God. As he prayed, it was like I was seeing heaven and the Lord himself. He talked to God and about God. He prayed God's desires in such a way I'd never prayed before or heard anybody else to pray. It was literally like I got caught up into heaven with him. It was though he was praying into eternity itself. And there was a depth of understanding he had about Jesus, which literally illuminated my heart. And more than 30 years later, I never have forgotten that encounter with A.S. Worley because I believe that there's something about what I'm sharing with you and the way that even Jesus was praying in the scriptures that relates to that experience that I had with him that day. See, the glory of God, it isn't a thing or an experience. The glory of God is a person, and that person is Jesus. And this is what Christ was about. The incarnation of God, revealing an eternal God. Nothing has changed. Jesus' work may be done, but ours surely has not. We are a continuation of the glory of God. I pray you would see him in his fullness so that you can be exactly like him. That's what we're looking for. If you want to peel back the veil of eternity, then you've got to see Jesus. Let me say that again. If you want to peel back the veil of eternity, then you've got to see Jesus. The next thing I want to share with you is that pray that God gives you an eternal perspective. Jesus said this, he gives eternal life to each one who you have given him, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I really believe that once we've encountered this glory, this experience with Christ, we are much more in tune to all that's happening around us. There's an awareness of Christ's heart for the world and people around us. I also believe there are situations and specific people God has given each of you. Now, whether it's your family or coworkers, a fellow student, or your neighbor, we've asked you this thing to do, and that is, do you have a hashtag? And that hashtag card is the way that we begin to pray for 8 people each day. Many of you have that card. I don't know where it's at. Maybe it's stuffed in a book or in your Bible. And some of you just say, well, I just pray for a lot of people. But there is something specific about knowing that you have said to yourself, I'm going to pray for these 8 people. Now, sometimes we do that not because we're sure of any encounters we might have with them, but to create an expectation that through our prayers, that the Spirit will lead us and lead others to us so that we can reveal Jesus. So what if we pray this way? What if we pray and we make an assumption that actually everybody is looking for eternity? As Bonnie and I have been to many places in the world, I have just simply found this to be true. Once on a bullet train to Shanghai, a woman was secretly reading a blog that I was writing about the Chinese, and she actually started asking me questions. I mean, the next thing I know, she was full of joy because of meeting Jesus. When she jumped up to grab her bag to go off the train, she turned to me and said, I can't wait to go tell my husband and daughter what just happened to me. Or a Mexican bus driver in Monterey during a missions trip as we sat on a bench after a long, hot day, and he shared his heart, and I was able to lead him to Christ. Or 30 gang members in prison in a penal colony in Manila. Or my neighbor, Jen, who lives across the street. When I think about my primary role here at Calvary, I believe my primary role is to impart this into your lives. First, to remind you that God has planted eternity in your own hearts. And secondly, he's done the same for those who still need Jesus. As we finish, would you just take a moment to quiet yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a great sense of your role in people's lives? And after you've done that, then ask the Holy Spirit if there is someone he's leading you to that needs to experience eternity through you. Let's just take a moment. I'm not sure that was long enough for some of you, but I trust that from what you've heard so far, you realize that the Spirit of Jesus longs to see people that you're thinking about right now come to know him. The third area that I really feel is important is that we need to pray for endurance. Jesus said this, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. When you consider the person or the persons the Holy Spirit revealed to you, let me ask you this. What's it going to take to make sure that they are with you in eternity? Do you think it's to do more, to give more, to serve more, or to know Christ? I think it's the latter. During Jesus' prayer, he prayed for 2 types of people at the end of John 17. He prayed for us who know him, and he said this, I'm praying for them, that's you and I. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. The second person that he prayed for were those who would be his through us. He said this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have actually sent me." When I read these two prayers, there's an overwhelming sense and a certain gratitude I have, knowing that eternity is about being a family, and with the Godhead, and with each other. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, "God, I sure am glad that there's rooms in heaven, because there's probably a few people that I prefer only as visitors now and then." But I want you to know that there is a place for every single person. And I also want you to know this, that the Bible says at the end of this season that there's going to be a new day. Scripture says that all things will be made new. There'll actually be a new heaven, and there'll be a new earth, and we'll all be together like Adam and Eve, like before sin. It'll be a beautiful kaleidoscope of people and stories and history and all the things that we have experienced through knowing God while we're with Him in heaven, but also knowing that eternity is about returning to a new earth. So I also know what we do in this life is a practice run for the next life. When praying about eternity, I'm reminded about my sister Sherry. She's had a very difficult life. She's been bullied since she was a little girl because of a birth defect of her eyesight, and just harassed by people all her life and picked on. And 3 years ago, her husband Mark died of a brain tumor. She now spends most of her time alone, and she really misses him terribly. And during the time that Mark was dying and in the hospital, I was able to speak to him on the phone when he was still coherent. And during that moment, he prayed and he gave his life to Jesus. And I've spoken about this with my sister, but it hasn't actually moved her. I think because of all the things she's gone through in her life, it's just hard for her to be able to get a hold of this. I know Mark is in heaven. I'm assured of that. And the idea that she would not be there with me in heaven is actually heartbreaking. So I know I need to endure. I need to have hope because I see through the eyes of Christ. How about you? See, there is a burden we're required to carry as followers of Jesus, and that is the souls of men. And as we pray through the month of January, I want you to know that there's some things that God can help you to be able to attain this. First, remember that you're eternal. That's so important because I really believe that sometimes when we come to Christ, we give our life to Jesus. You know, we think eternity is the moment that I take my last breath on this earth. But the reality is, if that the Spirit of God has come into you, then you are eternal now. Not only is that important, because the next thing you can do is you can think and pray eternally because you know that you are an eternal person, which means that no matter what you're experiencing in this world or in the earth or around you, your eyes can be set on heaven. You can fix your gaze on Jesus. You can look into the glory that He is, and you can pray according to that revelation. Kind of like A.S. Worley. So that's really, really critical. And the last thing is, let Christ be your glory. Let Christ be your everything. So that when you are in awe of God, when you're in awe of His creation, when He does a miracle in your life, no matter how small or how great it is, that it always causes you to reflect on Jesus because He is the fullness of God's glory revealed to us. Those kind of attitudes and expressions, I mean, they're a magnet to people. People want hope. People want to know that there's an eternal, loving, merciful God who's expressed it through their Son, Jesus. And I believe for you and I today that God wants us to pray into eternity. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word today and for the glory of God to be revealed and for the hope of heaven to come and to reveal yourself to us in a fresh way this year as we pray, as we believe, and as we hope. I pray that eternity would be on our hearts and our minds consistently, that God, we would not be bored with the presence of Jesus, but we would lean into what we know really brings life to us and other people. So we just say, Jesus, we lift you up to the highest place. We want you to be glorified. Just as you prayed, we want you to be glorified through our lives and in our lives for the sake of your kingdom, and because you're a good God, and because the Father loves us and loves his creation, and we want everyone to join our family. In Jesus' name, amen.